speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Ye have heard it said. You know, there are so many things that were said in the Old Testament that when the Lord said, ye have heard it said, but here's what I say unto you. It shows the distinction between the old law of Moses, which has now been done away, and the new law of Christ, which we are to live under today. Many people have heard some things, though, about the churches of Christ that they need to be sure they know the truth about. For instance, sometimes prejudice is preached from the pulpits in our nation, in the denominational bodies, because we try to get people to live simply in harmony with the Word of God. Sometimes they hear, well, you people just believe that you're the only ones that are going to be saved. We've discussed that in these programs in the last few weeks, that those who are going to be saved are those who obey the gospel. And when one obeys the gospel, he's a member of the Lord's church. When they say, we hear that you don't have any music in the church. No, my friends, we do have music in the church, but it is the singing that the Lord commands and not the playing, which is not commanded. Then some say, well, we've heard it said there's no appreciation for the Old Testament, that you don't believe the Old Testament. Well, the truth is we do believe the Old Testament, not as our law, but therefore our learning, as Romans 15 and verse 4 says. Then there are those who say, well, you have no involvement for women. But we do have the involvement God gave for a woman, and godly women want to live in harmony with that which is commanded in 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Corinthians 14. Then that there is no love in the Church of Christ is certainly not the case. You'd have to know the brethren in the Lord's Church in order to appreciate how much love, genuine love, is expressed from week to week, day to day, among those who are children of God. We've learned that in the church, there of course is the body of Christ. We've learned that it is the kingdom of the Lord. And in these things, we learn that we have to be a part of this in order to be saved. Some say one can be saved outside of the church as well as in. Well, if you're talking about the Lord's church, that's not true. Now, if you're talking about man-made churches, surely I would not argue with you along that line. But my friends, if the Lord is the one who is in the list, He's greater than all. If the church is the one that is in the list with man-made churches, it's the greatest of all, isn't it? And so one church is not just as good as another when the Lord's church is the one that is being compared to. So the question that arises, has God promised salvation outside the church, needs to be studied, doesn't it? In the church, we find all the spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3. We find the promises of God given there. We find the grace of God, the blood of Christ. All of these things are in Christ Jesus, not out. And so in the body of Christ is found all the blessings that are needful to us. Now, if we can understand what the church is, this should help us to realize its importance, shouldn't it? If the church is called the body, and it is the spiritual body of Christ, then we see that there is none comparative to it. And this is shown in these passages, such as Matthew 16:18, when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. When in Ephesians 1:22-23, God gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if one is saved outside the church, he's saved without any connection to the head, who is Christ. Now the Bible tells us that Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. Again, we're told that reconciliation is found in the one body, Ephesians 2:16. Well, if reconciliation is there, how much reconciliation can be had out of that body? Well, absolutely none. You know, if we were to stop here, surely the importance of the church can be seen. However, the church is also said to be the kingdom, as we've studied. When one obeys the gospel, he's translated, Colossians 1:13, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And if one can be saved outside the church, then he can be saved in the kingdom of Satan. You see, my friends, there are only two kingdoms of which we can be a part. One is the kingdom of Satan, and that's the one Satan is over. And there are some who are of their father, the devil, according to John 8:44. So we need to be careful that we're not in the kingdom of Satan, but rather that we're in the kingdom of the Lord. And the church is said to be the family, as we've studied before. Paul wrote to Timothy, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now here's the family of God in 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. Paul thinks it's a very, very important thing to be a part of that family. So judgment, according to 1 Peter 4:17, is going to begin at God's house or in God's family. My friends, if you're not in the family and they are scarcely saved, what will be of those who do not obey the gospel, Peter asked? If one is not in the family of God, whose family do you suppose he's in? You know, there's but one alternative, and that's Satan's family. If not, why not? Now, only those who have been born again of water and of the Spirit, John 3, verses 3 through 5, have entered into the family of God. Oh, I know we've heard it said, but this is what the Bible says. You know, the church of the Lord is His flock. It is His sheep. It is His fold. According to John 10:16, Acts 20:28, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. Well, in John 10, He said, My sheep hear My voice. They're My flock. And in Acts 20:28, He said, The elders are over the flock, which He purchased with His own blood. And in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 3, He tells us that elders are to be watchmen over the fold of God. Well, if you're not in the flock, if you're not a part of the sheep, if you're not in the fold, if one is not saved, my friends, he can't possibly be one of the Lord's sheep, nor be in His fold. So in what fold is he? Well, it has to be the fold that belongs to Satan. You don't want to be a part of that fold if you want to go to heaven. The church has also said, if you will allow me one more thought, to be the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5:23, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. And He is the Savior of the body. Romans 7:4 and other passages would refer us to the fact that the church is the bride of Christ. Now, one who's not a part of the bride of Christ, that isn't a faithful bride, will not be presented to the Lord one day, as Ephesians 5:27 speaks of the church, the bride of Christ being presented to Christ. It'll be unto Him a spotless church, because He's cleansed it with His blood. And my friends, the church is composed of those who've been redeemed, aren't they? Those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. Acts 20:28, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, and Ephesians 5:25. Are you among the redeemed today? Are you among those who have been purchased by the blood of Christ? You know, it is. If one is not a member of the Lord's church, he's not been purchased by the blood of Christ. And thus, no matter what you hear said, this does not mean that one belongs to the Lord unless he's been purchased by the blood of the Lord. When we obey the gospel, we're purchased by the blood of the Lord. That's where we come in contact with His blood. That's when He cleanses us from our sins. So when we read that we are made the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and that there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male nor female, but we're all one man in Christ, and if we be Christ, then we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, those who are in the church are those who are heirs. Those who have been redeemed and purchased are those whom the Lord approves, and whom He will come to take home one day. You know, with all these evidences before us that we have presented from God's Word, how can people still contend that the church is not important? How can they say that the name Christian is not important? Why, the Lord wants us to know that it is important. That's the reason He gave His Word. How can they say that one can be saved out of the church as well as in? In fact, how can people say that one church is as good as another? I hardly understand that. Now, I know that the word Christian is used only three times in the text. Acts 11:26, when the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, that, of course, was the first time that the people of God were designated by that new name that Isaiah 62:2 speaks of. They were called Christians. Called is a divine calling. The word indicates that in the original language. The call means it was divinely given by God. This is not a name in derision. These people are members of the Lord's church. They are Christians. They're not any kind of hyphenated Christians. They're just plain Christians. They belong to the church of Christ. Then again in Acts 26:28, Paul said to Agrippa, I would, whether with little or much, that thou were just as I am. And he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's what he wanted to persuade him to be. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11, he said there, we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. that each one of us may receive for the deeds done in the body, according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so, to be a Christian is to be persuaded to obey the gospel. And of course, Peter said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For he says, the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it began first at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? My friends, Peter didn't answer that question. He didn't need to, did he? We know where the sinner and the ungodly will appear. We know where those who refuse to obey the gospel will appear. Do you believe that you and your family can afford not to obey the gospel?